The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe it?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And a bit of news came out in the last week that Katie Taylor, she is fighting Flora Peely on the 5th of September. And now, unfortunately, it is her last fight of her career. But it's being, she's fighting in Croke Park, and it is the first boxing fight since Muhammad Ali and Alvin Lewis since 1972. So she's really making history, to be honest. She's bringing it to Croke Park for the first time in over 50 years. It's honestly phenomenal. A lot of women in sports this weekend, to be fair. And we had Cork, who opened up their All-Ireland Camogie Championship with a win of 18 points to 1 goal, 8 points. And of course, we had the Ireland men's, who drew last night to Canada, or I should say early this morning because it was 12:30. But they drew 1-1, which was very good. And Jaden Ume, he started Cork local. And then we have yesterday Ireland women's, who won 3-2 last night here in Páirc Cliath. And absolutely phenomenal it was. I was delighted to be there. And speaking of being delighted to be there, I did get interviews whilst being down at the park. So I have Ireland's Amber Barrett and Kyra Caruso, and retired Irish national Megan Campbell, who had a cannon for hands when it came to throw-ins.
The Big Red Bench.
What a game, Amber. The atmosphere was absolutely phenomenal, and to score a goal to win it for Ireland, how unbelievable did that feel for you?
Yeah, it was, again, another moment I'll definitely never forget. But I think, first and foremost, though, I have to say the support. I don't know what it is about Cork. There's something there about Cork. And it's just worked so well for us. And, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking about in the last camp, we said that the Dutch won't like coming to Cork. And whatever it is about us down here, the pitch was in absolutely immaculate condition, and just an unbelievable game, just end to end at times as well, which is not really what you want as well. But I think we're absolutely delighted to be coming away with 3 points there.
Yeah, I'm 3-for-3 here. Do you want to play all your games in Cork now?
Do you know what, honestly, I wouldn't mind to try and get a wee stadium built up in Donegal and bring you all up there as well.
Yeah,
see how we go. Nobody will like the North Atlantic up there now, but look, it's, yeah, brilliant. The fans, fans were absolutely incredible. Even when girls were coming in there 10, 15 minutes ago, you know, young ones still out front row getting absolutely drenched, and they didn't care, and we wouldn't be where we are without them. So, you know, we're very, very proud of the fans we have, and by God, we're very lucky to have them as well.
Kira, such an atmosphere today, over 12,000 at the stadium, and to score a goal, just how did it feel?
Yeah, it's very special. I always say scoring in Ireland is always, in the kit, is always special. Scoring in Ireland is extra special, but my papa is from Cork, and so I said today, I was like, you know what, I have a goal in this game for me, and for my papa, so thank you, Tony. So yeah, I'd like to say that. My auntie Tess is here as well, so special to score in front of her.
I'm here in Páirc Cliath with Ireland legend Megan Campbell, and she is known for her long throw-ins. What can you say about that performance, Megan?
Unbelievable. I think from start to finish, the girls were fantastic. They worked tirelessly for each other on and off the ball. Everything from tackles to clearances to obviously great finishes, and bounce back from conceding twice. Just fantastic. So proud of the team.
Yeah, it's like nothing was stopping them at all. They just kept going. Like, but I honestly have to say, I never had a doubt that they were going to end up winning it. Because it was just, they just went and they'd score. Yeah. Like, after that penalty, like, first the crowd went insane. I was speechless. It was unbelievable to hear. But to go and score, like, Abby Larkin, unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the bounce back and how quick they bounced back as well after conceding really changed the atmosphere within the stadium. And I think it put the Netherlands on edge, because they probably thought they were on the upper hand and they had momentum after scoring that penalty. And obviously then we went the other end and scored within, what, 2 minutes. And straight away the crowd were back and they're loud as ever. And yeah, the girls obviously were really positive from start to finish. The substitutes that were made by the staff, everything was so positive, and the confidence within the team just showed that on the pitch, then you're able to together go and get that result, and it was fantastic.
And Amber Barrett, things are really starting to sound a bit familiar here. She loves drama. She loves the World Cup.
She just loves a good celebration, doesn't she? Fantastic. Amber, obviously, great professional, doesn't always get the minutes that, you know, maybe some strikers wouldn't be happy with. And, you know, she keeps her head down. She always works hard and selfless for the team. When she gets the opportunity, she knows she has to take it. And those minutes maybe are few and far between for her, but her role in the team is to come on and make an impact. And that's certainly what she's done tonight.
Definitely, but I just think there's something special about Cork, and I could sound so biased right now because, as you could tell, I'm very much from Cork. But you have to agree with me, 3 for 3, and you played your last game here.
Yeah, 100%. I love playing here the last two times. I've been a part of the squad down in Parky Cueve. It's been unbelievable. The weather was a little bit nicer those two times I played, I must say. But tonight, the crowd, even with the rain and the way the wind was, they never went quiet. They always stood behind the girls, and how loud they were when we scored the 3 goals. It was just fantastic. I think I said to whether we go straight to Brazil and we need friendlies before we go there, or we get the playoffs, we need to play down here again, because I think we should be here more often. It's fantastic.
Shiva, I think she was phenomenal today. She would be my personal woman of the match.
Yeah, she was brilliant. I think tireless. A lot of every player was, to be fair, tireless throughout the game. But her especially, her work rate. She wasn't probably on the ball a lot as maybe in previous games, but her work rate off the ball was incredible. And yeah, everyone worked hard for each other, but she just had that little bit extra, and her legs, they never stopped running. She was incredible. Little tackles, disrupting Netherlands football, trying to combine, and she was always there to break things up. So it was really good, positive to see.
100%. And I have to say, Courtney Brosnan, she was very composed in goal. She was very unlucky not to get to the penalty, and the Irish fans did try to get her there, but unfortunately it just wasn't for her. But we won 3-2 because she did unreal in goal.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Courtney's the ultimate professional, brilliant person before player, and obviously that transpires onto the pitch. And what a leader she is, commanding from the back and coming up with massive saves when called upon. And in those moments in games, you know that they're going to have chances. The Netherlands, they're a top team, and her role is to step up and defend her goal, and she did that incredibly tonight.
Definitely. So hopefully we will be seeing you in Cork soon. Thanks so much, Megan.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Hello, you're listening to the Big Red Bench, and what a game that was. I still cannot get over it. What a win to win 3-2. And the girls, they were just so resilient. They were honestly fab. But now, all eyes are on Tuesday, where they play France. France are just ahead of them. If they win, Ireland top the group and they go straight into the World Cup next season. But however, if we do lose or draw, we do have a chance. We'll go to the playoffs, and I'm sure the girls will just be as resilient there. But I just have this sneaky feeling that they're going to qualify. First time round, they're going to place top of the group and go for it. But we're going to move on to Gaelic games. Tomorrow, there is a big match. I don't think I know what it is. No, I do. It's Cork. They're playing the hurling final against Limerick. So now we have Limerick manager John Kiely speaking to Tommy Rooney ahead of their Munster final with Cork.
All right, 31 degrees in the car pulling into the Gaelic grounds today, John Kiely. It's a hot one. It's Munster Championship final time. Great place to be this time of the year.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, you know, when you start out at the beginning of November and you've your plans in place and you've your group together, you know, this is where you want to be. This is one of the destinations in the journey that you want to be at. Munster Finals are special occasions for Munster Hurling, and everybody in Munster wants to be in Munster Finals. So, yeah, delighted to be there. very happy with how we responded to our first round loss against Cork. You know, the last three games have been very solid from the lads. I think, you know, incrementally improving all the time, and some areas of emphasis that we've gone after have worked really well for us. So yeah, very happy with where we're at right now, and looking forward to the next 2 weeks and enjoying the build up to the Munster final, getting our work done maybe over the course of that time.
You know, it's a condensed season nowadays, and you guys have been together since maybe late November. A lot of time spent together. There's always twists and turns in a season, but that improvement that you have gotten as the year has gone on, and even within defeat, it must give you... Do you stay calm within all of that when you're seeing all those markers being hit in training and bits and pieces happening? Are you very composed with all of that throughout the season?
Yeah, I think over the years I've kind of settled a bit. Probably was a bit more excitable when I was earlier in my career, but over the last couple of years I've learned to try and, you know, really stay in the zone and keep calm, and hope that it'll allow me to make better decisions. I suppose my role on match day is as a decision maker, and, you know, to make good decisions you need to have a cool head, so it's not easy always to have it, because things happen in front of you that you might get excited by or might rile you up. But listen, at the end of the day I have to try and do the best job I can for the players. They're depending on me to make those decisions and make them right, so yeah, it's important to stay cool.
I think we're all addicted in a way to the ferocity of championship when we're in a crowd or we're covering a game, or we've no idea really what it's like to be in the middle. You're standing in your box here that you might be able to patrol. It must be tough to kind of keep calm in those scenarios when there's so much on the line in front of you.
Yeah, it is. But I suppose, you know, you try to block out the outside noise. I have people that I can communicate with, obviously with Paul as the head coach. You know, it's invaluable to have his opinion and analysis of the game. We have our stats team that are providing us with some information. We have the other selectors as well. So, you know, between us all, we're all working really hard to try and make the best decisions that we can on the day. And, you know, in terms of even preparing for half time, what are we going to say? What are we going to go after? What are we going to say before the game? What are we going to go after? So there's a lot of work goes into it. Everybody contributes, you know, to that. And I suppose for my part, I'm just going to have to be the best facilitator of the people around me, and hopefully assess the information in a way that delivers good decision making.
Having trust in that backroom team and the people around you is such a big thing of it too, and clearly you all have a lot of trust between you to be able to effectively communicate in the hot and heaviness of championship.
Yeah, the people that are with us a long time. So, you know, we've a lot of reference points where we've gotten it right a lot. So, you know, I have great trust in the people around me. They're super talented at what they do. And we've built up really good, strong relationships throughout that time. So, you know, we're not afraid to be abrasive with each other. We're not afraid to give an opinion and to have a strong opinion and to chase it down. And, you know, I think that's great, you know, that we have that, and we can have that abrasive conversation, and, you know, it's bringing out the best of us, hopefully.
The battles with yourselves in Cork already this year, we know that there's been a rivalry over the last couple of seasons. You've really set the tone in those games, and you've kind of controlled them, I would say, from the outside. I don't know, is that a fair comment?
Well, the results haven't gone our way in the last 12 months. You know, they beat us obviously a number of weeks ago in the first round, and they beat us last year in the Munster final. So, you know, they were the better teams in the day. They're a fantastic team. Huge strength in terms of skill and speed, and, you know, just a really, really good team. That's why they're so competitive the last number of years. So they're a fantastic outfit, and the challenge is on us now to really go after that over the next 2 weeks in terms of preparation, and hopefully deliver our best performance that we can on the day, you know, because a Munster final deserves that. And so we'll do everything in our power. I know the players are very focused and determined. We'll give it our shot.
I know I've brought up the likes of Adam English and Colin O'Neill and Aidan O'Connor to you a couple of times this year post-match, but they keep delivering for you. And Will O'Donoghue was talking to me about it earlier and saying these lads haven't just appeared out of nowhere, like they've put in their time. But that's such a positive mark of the squad, that you keep driving on and lads keep developing.
Yeah, listen, it takes time for a player to become an inter-county hurler. It doesn't happen overnight. The odd fella might make a breakthrough really quickly, but for the vast, vast majority, it takes 2-3 years to get that foundation in terms of your physical build, in terms of your hurling knowledge, hurling tactical awareness, and just confidence, just building confidence. And it's important that we give these players space to grow and develop without firing them in to really difficult scenarios when they're maybe just not quite ready for it. But these boys are ready for it now and have shown that consistently over the last couple of years as well. So they're making huge contributions. But, you know, I'd say as far as they're concerned, you know, they're around a while.
You have a fabulous record in finals. Can you enjoy them?
Yeah, you do. In fairness, you do. You know, when you get up in the morning of the game, you know, they're great occasions, they're special occasions, and, you know, you really look forward to them. Because, you know, for a long, long, long number of years when I was younger, we didn't get to finals. And you're watching other teams getting into finals. And you're wondering, why can't we get into finals? So, you know, for me, it's about taking advantage of the opportunity. And, you know, if we keep giving ourselves opportunities, we're going to take them. We mightn't take them all, but we'll take, you know, as many as we can. So, you know, this is another opportunity for us on next Sunday week, and we're full intent on seizing the opportunity.
Yeah, you've perfectly set that one up. I think we're all going to enjoy that Munster final. Limerick and Cork always deliver on the field, which we all enjoy. John, just a slightly different one. I'm sure we might talk about it again down the line, but Jim Furyk caught the headlines this week, a Limerick fan who's a GA Plus subscriber, apparently. That's JP's fault. But you're obviously involved in assisting with just the organising of the Ryder Cup and maybe helping out in a few bits and pieces over the next couple of months. So what's that like as maybe an outlet outside of hurling for you?
Yeah, you know, when JP asked me to get involved, you know, nearly 2 years ago now, I don't know where the time has gone. I didn't quite know what I was getting myself into, but some people in Limerick would have you think that I'm actually organising the whole thing, but I'm only actually a very, very small player in the background, helping out on JP's side with his own preparations for the Ryder Cup. And you know, it's a great honour, great privilege. I've gotten to meet a lot of new people, fantastic people that do wonderful jobs for the tour, and working with the community in the Dare as well, fantastic people who are doing everything in their power to make sure that the Ryder Cup is the best Ryder Cup ever. And I think Adair, the people of Adair, can be very proud of the efforts to date. You know, there is a bit of disruption at the minute in terms of the new road, etc., but listen, the long term payoff for them is going to be huge, and they're all really, really looking forward to the event on September 12 months, which is going to come around really quickly now. And I think there's a lot of excitement nationally now about it as well. It'll be a spectacular event, and Jim, you know, being at the match on Sunday, he's in for his reconnaissance of the course, etc. Very personable guy, really nice fella. Delighted to see him wearing a Limerick jersey. So he's all in, I think, on this mission for the next 15 months, which is great to see. Yeah, and he came down to the dressing room afterwards and met the lads, and it was just nice to have him there. He's a spectacular sportsman in his own right, has done incredibly well in his career, and as captain of the US Ryder Cup team, we're going to see a lot of him over the next 15 months, and it's our job then, I suppose, to maybe to stop him from winning.
Yeah. Brilliant, John. It's obviously, look, it's a pressure cooker being an inter-county manager. I know it's probably a privilege to steer your county, but there's a huge pressure in it as well. Is there a bit of release in working on something in sport that's so different to that?
Listen, as I said, it's only a very, very small piece now. But yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure when it'll come around closer to the point as well, you know, I'll be helping out with the volunteers as well. And there'll be over 2,000 volunteers. You know, it's going to be quite a bit busy piece when that'll come around. But it's building. There's a lot of work has been done already. A huge amount of work has been done on the grounds of the course by the staff there. The greenkeeping staff have done an incredible amount of work there. And everybody's working really hard out there to make sure that everything is ready for this particular event. So listen, but everybody's going to row in behind it. I think the people are rowing in behind it, and it'll be a super, super success.
There's a fair few hurling games to be played before then, so best of luck on Sunday week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Tommy.
Next on the Big Red Bench, we will hear from Limerick captain Cian Lynch speaking to Tommy Rooney ahead of their Munster final with Cork.
Cian Lynch, the shorts are out, short sleeve tops, you got the hat mind in the head as well. It's a savage time of the year to be still playing hurling. Do you ever take that for granted?
No, I was saying it there a while ago. You think back to when your kids go on to games, whether it was here in the Gaelic Rounds, Semple Stadium, Ballon Park, Cuive, you always remember Munster Championship hurling is the summer days, the ice cream's being sold in the stands, and it's great to have these few days of good weather and to enjoy them.
How are you keeping?
Great, yeah, delighted.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a disruption to your Munster Championship with the red card in the Cork game. What was that like, I suppose, the moments after the red is flashed in front of you?
Yeah, obviously hugely disappointing for myself on a personal level, and obviously for the group then too. You know, you're representing the group, and obviously the whole team, management, the whole lot. But I suppose you have to kind of move on fairly quickly, dust yourself off and get back to training. Obviously not being involved the following week, you're trying to push the lads that are involved and to take every game as it comes and just have to learn from it.
It's a ferocious environment. Like, I'm not sure many of us can actually get what it's like in the middle of a game like that. What can you learn from something like that?
It's just silly, you know. You know yourself, you're playing long enough, and whether it's with the club or with the county or schools or colleges down through the years, you have to learn from these experiences and sort of drive on.
You obviously lost that day, but it wasn't a huge bump in your road. Like, the progression of the team, the wins that you've had, the performances, probably more than anything. What are the things you're looking at when you're in the middle of a season to know that, right, we're in a good place here?
I suppose our main focus is taking every game as it comes, and like, we even going into last week, we didn't look beyond Tipperary, and we knew that playing them here inside the Gaelic grounds was going to be a battle, and it was. And look, thank God we got through it, and we're lucky to be in the Munster final. Obviously Cork topped the group itself, so we know we have a massive battle in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, you've had serious back and forths and huge games that have gone down to the wire, and they've gone different ways over the years. Like, it's very hard to call going into them. Like, can you enjoy games against Cork? Do you enjoy games like that?
Sure, everyone wants to be playing games. You know, you're training since December, I suppose, 3-4 days a week in the rain, the cold wind. But I suppose anyone that's playing sports, you want to go out and play games, whether it's Gaelic football or hurling. And for us, just taking every game as it comes and trying to enjoy it as much as you can.
The atmosphere does feel particularly special in those games. Is there anything really like it? Like, I always think back to the 24 semi-final. I know it wasn't a great day for you, but there was something about the noise that day and the colours. Like, and whenever you meet, there is that ferocity and atmosphere.
Yeah, I think any game we've played, even through the championship this year, like, you saw it Sunday here with the Tip supporters, our own supporters, saw it down in Ennis, here obviously against Waterford and obviously Cork in the first round as well. I think supporters are brilliant. So even our own, the way they come out in such numbers, and they're always behind us and always driving us on, and it creates that atmosphere as well, and creates that, I suppose festival feeling about the Munster Championship.
So many of you boys have been on the road together. Like, I was talking to Will about yourself and him. I know you're a bit younger than him. He was trying to claim he's the same age. I might have put words in his mouth. Yeah. But like, is there a different identity to this Limerick than the Limerick of 2018 or the Limerick of 2023?
No, each year you're learning. You know, you're trying to obviously better yourself as an individual, whether it's on a performance level or a mental level or a physical level. But every year takes a life of its own. So you've new lads coming into groups, you've lads that might have left, you've lads that are in the group a while and now putting their hands up and getting opportunities, and it's great. And you just try and enjoy those moments and, I suppose, make memories in it all as well.
Have you changed a lot since the kid who broke through our TV screens over a decade ago now?
I don't know, I probably still have the immaturity of that 18, 19 year old, but no, you do, you learn a lot. I suppose life is about learning, and I suppose experiences too, whether it's in sport, whether it's outside of sport, and I suppose trying to enjoy it. You know, it's short, life is short, and enjoy it and have as much fun as you can in it.
These are the days you want to be involved in. Do you do much work in picturing, walking out in the field, or any prep work in terms of seeing what it's going to be like, or do you just embrace the moment as it arrives?
No, just kind of do your usual. You know, do your training, work hard in training, obviously go home and give a hand with the kids as well, and just try to do as much as you can as normal. Do you know, whether it's your first round of the league final or first round of the Munster Championship, you just try and treat it as another game.
Keane Lynch, I think we have a cracker ahead of us. Best of luck on it, enjoy it, and we'll chat to you again soon and off the ball.
Tommy, thank you.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And now you've been very patient. We will hear from Cork now. We're going to hear from Cork manager Ben O'Connor speaking to Ger McCarthy ahead of their Munster hurling final with Limerick.
Ben, the sun is shining. It's summertime. The Munster final is coming up. You've mentioned before this is where you and all the players want to be. Congratulations, first of all, on reaching Munster final. No small achievement. What is the mood in the camp like heading into another showdown with Limerick?
Yeah, fellas, looking forward to it. I suppose we hit the nail on the head there. Bit of fine weather. Fellas are delighted to be out playing in it. And big games ahead of us. So, look, Sunday week is going to be some battle. But the boys are prepared for it, and we're looking forward.
You didn't necessarily get the test in the second half you might have usually expected from Clare. Obviously they played the week before, but I suppose Limerick felt the same way in their second half against Tipperary. Does that make any difference coming into it, the fact that you know Limerick didn't get the benefit of a really tough challenge from Tipperary the same way you didn't get the tough challenge you expected from Clare?
No, I don't think that's going to have any bearing on the game. Look, we've 2 weeks to get ready for it now, and they have 2 weeks to get ready for it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of work done on both squads, and to be just down to who can eke the most out of themselves on the day.
Seanie McGrath, the Irish Examiner, complimented the Cork team's effort in when the scores were there late in the game, when the subs came on. There was a hunger, there was work rate, they didn't let up. You must have been really pleased with that as well, because the score that you put up, 130, was very impressive. The game, you know, was won probably just before the end, but that's what you want out of your players.
Yeah, and even outside the scores that we got late in the game, it was the work rate out of our full forward line, our half forward line. Joe, fellas with 73 and 74 minutes gone, they were still chasing back 15, 60 yards just to get a hook or turn the fellow over. So look, that's what we'll be more happy with. The scores are, Joe, that's the finishing part of it, but we like to see the work that's done before we get them.
Your defensive effort as well, from the two lines as well, Damien Callan on the edge of the square, guy that's had to come in with injuries. You've said next man up always as the season has progressed, but I think he exemplified that when an opportunity has arisen for him to put his stake in that jersey, he's done so, and he's just one example.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Damien was a prime candidate. He was told at the start of the year that he was probably cover, and he took it on the chin. He said, yeah, he said, that's fine, I'll train away hard, and if I'm needed, I'll be ready. And as it turned out, Damo was needed, and he hasn't been found wanting in any of the games he played so far. And I'm sure that if he gets his chance next day, he'll be champion to go again.
Speaking of the next day, it's Limerick again. From a manager's point of view, from a management team's point of view and planning, you've played each other so often, they know you as well as you know them, Ben. How, I suppose, from what I'm asking is, how difficult is it, or is it difficult to prepare for a game like this, to come up with something new, or you know what you're getting into, and so do they? Like, is it difficult because you know each other so well at this stage?
I suppose we're very familiar at this stage, but I suppose, look, they'll be working a few bits and we'll be working a few bits, and look, it's whoever can execute him the best. But look, it's where we want to be, it's where they want to be. We want to be in the Munster final. I'm sure if you go down and ask them, they want to be in the Munster final as well. Like, so like, if we have to play them 10 times in the year, there's going to be 10 massive games. Like, but our boys are looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll give a big performance.
The Munster Championship's current format, 3 out of 5 go through. There's been some comments obviously around the country in the build up. Now, it doesn't necessarily affect yourselves or Limerick or Clare at the moment, but the format as it currently stands, are you a fan of that, or there is an alternative suggestion out there that, you know, all 5 Leinster and all 5 Munster teams in theory could potentially go through and play off? Are you happy with the way it is at the moment? It gives that bit of bite and edge, or would you like to see the likes of, you know, the other Munster and Leinster counties hurling a bit later into the year?
Yeah, I suppose, look, everyone will have their own opinion, but I'm happy enough with the format at the moment. It's, as you see, Munster, and I suppose same Leinster, it's cutthroat. That if you're off a small bit any day, you can be beaten, and it could cost you in qualifying after. But I think the format has been very good, and if you're not winning 2 of your games, you're probably unlikely to get out of the group. Like, so you're still getting your games. And if you're not getting out of the group, well, there's 2 other teams getting out before you.
It suits you in that, even though there wasn't a lot for either team to play for the last day, like that idea that there was a Munster final on offer. I know how highly you prize reaching a Munster final. You won 5 medals as yourself. You've been able to tell the players that, you know, that some of the lads that haven't won a Munster at senior level. It's an important game, an important day in their careers when everything is finished. They're one of the days that they look back on. So it's worth getting to, and it's certainly worth winning.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as I said yesterday, when you look back on your career, when you finish, and your career is short, you don't think at the time, but your career is short. It's medals that you're going to be judged on. So look, this is another chance on Sunday to pick up a medal. Munster Championship, like, from as way back as I can remember, like, it was always big days. Sell out crowds in Thurles or in Limerick or here in Cork. You know, these days fellas are watching from their small office, and I'd love to be there someday. Like, so I'm sure all the boys are the same as that. And look, it's Munster final, it's the second biggest game of the year.
You've been very good to us in the media since you came in, and you've been very open with the players as well, and allowing them to, you know, be themselves and when they're asked questions and give honest answers. Not every county inter-county manager is like that. It's refreshing to hear the players talk honestly and talk openly about their ambitions and what it means for them to play the Cork. I think you've instilled that confidence in them that they feel it's okay for them to say those things. You must be pleased though that they're backing it up with the win so far this year.
Yeah, and look, they've got a lot of grief off certain parts of the media as well for saying something. They get investigated for comments that they make. But like, if you go to any county team at the start of the year and to say what you want to do, you want to win the All-Ireland, and if you don't have that in the back of your head, well, there's no point training for 7 or 8 months. So look, we're no different time list. I'm sure you go to Limerick, you go to Clare, you go to Dublin, all them fellas at the back of your head, that's the finishing point that they want to get to. Now, we mightn't get to that point, but you have to have it in your head that that's what you're working towards. But no, look, the boys there, they're not telling any lies. If they're asked a question, they're giving an honest answer. And some people won't know their opinion, and some people will. So look, if the boys have something to say, there's no problem, they can go in and say it.
We've talked about it before, I'm going to bring it up again. The atmosphere here at Super Value Park in Cueve the last day for the Clare game was unreal. The noise when the goal went in, Brian Hayes' goal. You've already spoken about home park and the Cork fans are to the team and how well the players interact with them. It's going to be an absolute humdinger against Limerick again in the Munster final. It's going to be a full house. The fact that they played in front of a full house, is that a benefit or are they just well used to it at this stage?
They're well used to it at this stage. They don't think twice about it. They go in once the ball's running, they're just focused on that. But I suppose the hardest part of it is the struggle for tickets now. Yeah. Do you know, you see, like, I think with 35,000 here, there was about 35,000 Cork people here on Sunday, like, so they're not all going to get tickets again for the next, so you can imagine the scramble for the next few days looking for tickets. But look, it's all part of it. And like, not everyone's going to get in, not everyone's going to be happy, but look, it is what it is. There's only a certain capacity.
Just finally, you've been open about what you wanted to do all year. You wanted to win every game. National League, did win the league final. You kept the same mantra, win every game in Munster. You've done that up to this point. There's obviously a bigger prize down the line that we'll talk about in time to come. But winning a Munster championship for you in your first year as senior manager, for your family, for where you come from, not just for the players, but for you personally, what would it mean?
Sure, look, I suppose hurling's everything for a lot of people in Cork, and I suppose we've had a few quiet years compared to way back in the 60s and 70s, I suppose, a few quiet years. And it's just nice to be involved with a team that are getting to finals, and it's just hopefully that we'll be able to pull it off and win them. There's no point getting there if you're not winning. But no, look, this, I'm the same as every other Cork person. I'm a Cork supporter, number one, and all I want to see is Cork winning everything. That's not going to happen, but and I'm sure every other county is the same, but I just see Cork and that's it. I don't want anyone else winning anything, so maybe be greedy and selfish, but that's just the way I'm wired.
The Big Red Bench, Cork Red FM.
Hello, and you're very welcome back from after the break to the Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And we're going to continue going with what we had before the break. We were talking about the Munster hurling final tomorrow. So now we have Rory O'Hagan speaking to Cork hurler ahead of the final tomorrow. And that hurler is Mark Coleman.
Mark, coming up to Munster final, I said to Ben O'Connor already, it's where you want to be as a management team. For the players, a huge occasion lies in store. It's Limerick all over again, but it'll be back here at Super Value Park in Cueve with the full house. How are preparations going?
Yeah, they're going well, thank God. Just getting the bodies right after the Clare game and after a tough round robin. But like you said, it's where you want to be, especially as a player down here, you know, in the middle of summer, playing in front of a massive crowd here in Park Cueve, sellout crowd, so it's where you want to be.
You've already experienced the atmosphere here many times before, but last weekend against Clare, like, it was really special. You got the job done, but the crowd, and when that goal went in from Brian Hayes, the roar, I mean, you'd be looking for more of the same, and hopefully the public will come out, as you know they will, and get behind you.
Of course, like, there's no better place to play than Parky Keeve in a full house. We're so lucky that we've probably, I don't know, countless times now we're playing in front of full houses here. It's unbelievable. And to hear that roar when a goal goes in, it's just special, like. So hopefully more of the same. That's the plan anyway the next day.
A huge honour for you to be named as vice captain, huge honour for your family, huge honour for Blarney GAA Club, and with Dara injured, no big step forward for the media for captain. But in all your years involved with the Cork Senior Hurling team, being named in this position, this role, a real honour. We don't want to forget that as well, coming in such a big season for you.
Yeah, it is a massive honour for myself and my club and my family and all that, of course. Obviously, we're disappointed Dara isn't able to, you know, line out at the weekend. But, you know, there's plenty of leaders within this group, so, you know, it's not a massive responsibility for myself, because there's so many good fellas around me, but like that, I'm absolutely delighted to be leading this group going out on Sunday.
And that's the thing, this Cork panel, there's a lot of experienced players, there's a lot of young players that have come in as well as captain and vice captain. Like, what's your role? I know they're all leaders in their own right, and they play their leaders for their specific clubs, but do you say words before the game? Do you say words in the build up to it, like, to get your chance to have in front of everyone?
Yeah, I suppose it's just a matter of you know, making sure the standards are kept within the group. We have a good core group of fellas, probably, you know, a lot of them around my age, and then there's a good group from those under 20 teams that won All Ireland as well. There's some fantastic leaders coming through from those teams. But yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, if you see any standards slipping, that you call that out, or you make sure that your training is going right. If there's any, like, anything that needs to be changed and stuff like that. Of course, there's probably things throughout the week you might have to take a couple of meetings with the players and stuff like that, and say a few words then before going out onto the field. But like that, there's plenty of lads who kind of share that workload. and obviously Dara's not playing, but he's doing a lot of that as well still, like, so there's plenty of fellas around to do it.
10 years in the Cork senior jersey, I mean, that's a fantastic achievement. I mean, in the modern day intercounty hurling, you see guys getting injured. Dara's a prime example, already coming into a Munster final. Has it gone by in the blink of an eye, or sometimes you have to pinch yourself because you are one of the most experienced guys on the panel and your voice carries weight? But 10 years, it's a long time, man.
It is, and you're right, it's gone by in a blink of an eye. Like, you know, you spend, I don't know, you nearly just see yourself as the young fella for a long time, and all of a sudden you're, you know, pushing on 40 or 50 appearances in the championship. And but yeah, look, it's it obviously takes a lot to play 1 year into county, but once you're enjoying it, to be honest, it's easy enough to come in here and be training in Parkakeeve and stuff like that, and you know, you'd want to love it, but I do.
Yeah, you've played under a lot of managers as well. You've obviously before Pat Ryan as well. You spoke about knowing Ben before he came in. You knew the kind of message that he would give, his work with the under-20s and with other clubs. He's been very true to himself. He is, as you see him on camera and off camera. I know you know that. But what's different this year? I mean, the players seem to be empowered a lot. You're allowed to, you talk, not that you're allowed, but you're empowered to talk to the media when the time comes. He puts an awful lot of trust in the players, not that other managers didn't. But is there a discernible difference in how he goes about his business compared to other managers in your time?
Not a whole pile. I think he obviously every manager's message is that you want to go out and win every game, and Ben just speaks that, to be fair. You know, he keeps his words short and sweet, and he just straight to the point. But that's kind of it. And like you mentioned, trust there. Like, there's, you have to build a trust between management and players and stuff like that. And you know, I'm sure if we weren't getting results, that trust mightn't be as much. So that's kind of earned. But yeah, like I said, he just wants us to go out and give everything and try and win every game. And he says that both in the media and to us inside, it's the same message. Like, so that's kind of it.
But you can see it, Mark, because you can see like that year the way you are off the field as well. Like, you're honest. You're open about things. He talks about work rate. He talks about effort. He's not interested in the individual. We saw it here last day against Clare. Clear example of that. The subs that came on: Shane Kingston, Damien Callahan stepping into the full back role. It is a full squad effort, and everyone seems to be treated the same way. And like, the results prove positive of that.
Yeah. Well, I think we play a game plan, and we all know that game plan. And after that, it's just a matter of all he expects from us is to go out and work hard. And it's very easy to be honest about that. Then, whether it's in the media or around the place, like, you can just go out and say, look, all we want from our players and from this squad is go out and work their socks off, and that's all you can do. So yeah,
Limerick again, you've met them so many times. I said the same to your manager. I mean, when you're coming into such a big game, it's a Munster final, how difficult is it to prepare mentally? Physically you'll be on point, obviously it's going to be a huge physical battle on the day itself, but the mentality side of the game is not often talked about. But with this Cork team, been to 2 All-Ireland finals, won a Munster National League, you're on a good run. What's the mentality, and how do you prepare mentally just before a huge game with so much pressure on you coming into it?
I suppose mentally you just have to kind of really just go into your preparation. Like, it's easy to get up for the big games. Like, you're playing in front of 40,000-50,000 people down here in Parkakeeve. If you're not getting, if that doesn't get you excited, you know, you're in the wrong sport and you're probably doing the wrong thing. So you kind of have to remember that sometimes. Of course, it's difficult to come out and, you know, after a long day's work and come in training and be at 100% every single night. That can be difficult, but once you kind of get here, you're around a good group of lads, and it's very easy to kind of reset and kind of snap into that kind of high performance environment. So that's kind of it, and making sure that once you're away from it, you probably do have to switch off and keep yourself fresh and go away and do whatever it is you enjoy doing outside of hurling and not getting completely absorbed by it. But once you come in here, it's 100% focus and you're fully committed, because if you're not, you're kind of coming in, you're wasting your time, you don't get much out of it. But yeah, it's easy to kind of click into that high performance zone when you're, once you come in the doors here and you're around all the lads.
It's a question I asked Ben before, so can you switch off? You've experience of switching off, but for the younger players, there's so much hype around the Cork senior hurling panel at the moment. Not an easy thing to do either.
It's not, and especially, like I always say, social media. Like, you'll be scrolling and Twitter or whatever, and something can pop up, and it's easy, especially for young fellas. You know, like, this is all new to a lot of them in the last maybe 2 years, and it's all a lot of positive stuff, which is easy to get sucked into. But I suppose we've been around long enough now. There's plenty of negatives there as well, and you realise after a while that, like, all that noise is just noise, and whether it's good or bad, it's going to affect you. You know, it's going to affect your performance. So it's very important to just be able to switch off and try and avoid that as much as possible.
How much would it mean to you to lift the trophy on the day and win a Munster championship, win a Munster medal? I know you've got medals in your pocket already, but for this group, especially for the younger lads that might necessarily have won a senior medal before, what would that? It's a huge challenge, obviously, and Limerick are going to bring it, and it's going to take a mammoth effort. I'm not suggesting it won't, but manifesting and trying to lift the trophy going into the All-Ireland Championship, how much of a boost would that be?
It'd be unbelievable, but like you said, it's going to be a mammoth task, and we're under no illusions that we're playing Joe Limerick, who are setting the standard for the last 10 years. But for me personally, it'd be a massive honour, especially leading up the group. It's something you always dream of, is lifting trophies for Cork, so to have the opportunity to even do that is very special. But like that, your career goes by so fast, and we were saying it a while ago, I'm 10 years in now, and you don't have a bucket load of medals at all. Like, these opportunities don't come around at all. So while you're playing and while you're in this environment, you want to pick up as many trophies and as many medals as you can. You know, you'll be retired for long enough looking back at this, and you want to try and make the most of the opportunity and win as much as you can.
Just finally, music that booms out of that dressing room after the matches, as a vice captain and as acting captain now, have you any say in what's played, and are there some people that you would prefer not playing music in?
I wouldn't be left near that speaker now for love nor money. No, we have a few fellas who fancy themselves as DJs there. Okay. Brian Hayes there would be one fellow who fancies himself. Tim O'Mahony as well would be another fellow. So.
And are they acid host garage music, or do they know themselves?
I'd say they don't include themselves, to be honest. A bit of everything. I don't know, I leave them at it anyway, and you know, it creates a good old buzz there before the games and even after the games. It's nice when you win a game, yeah, to come in and try on the speaker and just have a bit of a laugh, because they're special moments as well. Yeah. And that's what you do for really those kind of memories in the dressing room.
All the best in the Munster final. Best
luck,
buddy.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench, and we're going to rewind now and go a bit to our archives. We have Cork football great and Chelsea legend Bobby Tambling speaking to Neil Prendeville a number of years back. Now, Bobby passed away this year at the age of 84, with tributes pouring in for Cork City's first ever manager.
What's it like for you to be back, say, at the Bridge, for instance, considering that you spent so long there and scored, how many goals? 202, I think.
202, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's a long time, you know, in 70 I left, but the fans are absolutely fantastic. They've been fantastic to me. You know, I've had problems with my leg, and it was actually them who sort of made me want to fight harder to get through that. And people talk about it being a job. I hear you've got a job back at Chelsea. It's not a job, it's a pleasure.
Yeah,
it really is a pleasure.
It's wonderful to be back there.
Yeah, it's lovely. You know, it's fantastic.
How do you get on with Lampard? Because he took the record away. Although I don't think you can compare like with like, because he scored a lot of those goals from the penalty spot. You didn't take penalties.
Well, I took a few, and but I didn't take them as much as what Frank scored, 49, and I think I scored 15. I could say I hated him, but I don't. I actually, he's one hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Really is. Very genuine. And we got on very well.
And he writes a beautiful foreword. His foreword is like a chapter in the book. It goes on and on.
I was going to say, forewords that I've ever read were only a sort of a paragraph long. But
yeah.
I reckon if he'd written another 2 pages, I might have been Prime Minister.
Or beatified. Or canonised or something.
Yeah.
But if you look at the game now, right, and I know there's a part of the book where you talk about some of the changes you would like to make to soccer, particularly, you know, the handball and the theatrics and the penalty area and all this messing with players. But if you look at when you were playing, it was for small money, and it was a very hard game. But it was hugely popular even back then, but there was no money in it. When you compare that to now, I remember asking Ian Rush this a couple of months back, and he said, hang on a second, we were paid big money even back then, but you guys weren't.
No.
You didn't even get paid when you weren't playing.
No. I can tell you that up to the 60s, there was a cap on money, wages. £20 was the top wage in the up to the 60s until we threatened to go on strike. And then it lifted, but it didn't, you know, it was free then. The clubs could pay what they wanted to pay you. But it was still only sort of two or three times the wage of an average carpenter, plumber.
Yeah.
You know, so we weren't on great money. But
what do you think of it now?
Out of control, I'm afraid. I mean, people sort of say, oh, they're jealous and all that. I wouldn't even dream of wanting to play now to the day that we played.
Why?
Because we play for the love of the game.
But you suggest they don't now?
I think money has a, you know, big part to play in where they play. And you know, like, we enjoyed the company of the fans. We weren't that much different. We weren't any different to the fans. We were sort of from families, like, you know, ordinary families.
Working class lads.
Ordinary guys who got a dream come true. I mean, that's how I always class the life I had, a dream come true. And so we knew what they felt. And no, when you look at the money that they earn to, you know, the average man, you can't compare it. And in our day, if you weren't playing well, the crowd would be calling out, get stuck in, you know, more effort. But, you know, they can't do that. You know, like, because the lads can't do it on the field.
Yeah.
You know, the game has changed so dramatically that a lot of people from our era, you know, the spectators, have lost the interest. You know, the game used to produce for them.
Yeah, of course, their television would have a lot to do with that, and you know, the use of Sky Sports, and, you know, multi platforms to view games. But if you look at your time back then and the money you were on, you captained Chelsea at the age of what, something like 21. You went on to have a very long career. You also, I think, had three England caps, isn't that right?
Three England caps,
which are now buried out in the Kinsale Road landfill site. What the hell are they doing out there?
Well, they were. My youngest son was looking after them. He loved all that. You know, I didn't mind him having it. He was very proud of his dad. And still is. And but he met up with a young lady, and I don't think she really knew what they were.
They were just like dirty old mouldy caps.
They looked like a high school cap.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, with a tassel.
Schoolboys.
And they got damp. And they, you know, like, were stuck away in a cupboard, and they went, you know, mouldy. And so she threw them out. She threw them in the dustbin. And that's why they're on the Kinsale Road somewhere.
When I was reading that part of the book, actually, I got thinking, I bet you that the landfill site on the Kinsale Road is full of all sorts of treasure that got thrown out by mistake. Yeah. You know, not your three English caps alone, but that jewellery, money, you know, people bury stuff in mattresses.
You can see how it happened, like, you know. And, you know, like, I'd never even thought of approaching the English FA
for the
about trying to get them replaced. But someone said, look, you've got the best guy here in Chelsea. He was one of the directors, so I just sort of mentioned it to him in passing, really. And a couple of months later, Lineker was in the director's box and presented them to
me. You got replacements?
Yeah, I've got three to, you know, like, well, and, you know, like, they're hung up on the wall, like, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But as you came to the end of your career, a change of climate and a change of clubs involved you coming to Cork and playing for Celtic, wasn't it?
Yeah. I had a bad injury. I had an Achilles tendon problem, and the specialist who I was seeing advised me that, he said, really, I should advise you to retire. He said, because your ankle's not going to stand up to the pressure you're put under.
So you needed softer ground.
That's what he said. Yeah. He said,
and it rains here all the time, so the ground is soft.
Well, I was sat next to a gentleman called Paddy Mulligan, an Irish international lad in the Crystal Palace dressing room, and he advised me to go to Ireland. And I said, could you fix something up? And he did. Very nice of him. He fixed me up with, as he told me on the day, a team second in the league.
That's funny, actually. Yeah. You tell that well.
And when I got over here, I said that in front of the people that I was meeting, your directors and so forth. And I said, I'm glad to be joining the side second in the league. And they said, well, we hope to make some progress with all the signings we've made. And I thought, that doesn't sound like second in the league. And I said, where are you in the league then? And they said, second from bottom. I never let Paddy forget that moment.
All right, but it didn't deter you. And you had a good career here. And I think you were the man who brought best to Leeside, didn't you, for a few games? Was it true that he was on £1,000 a game?
Yes. And I'm really proud of that fact. Like, you know, not the fact that he was on £1,000 a game, but that he came over to us here in Cork.
He didn't play very well, though, did he?
He was. He wasn't at the end of his career, because after that time, he went back and played for Fulham. You know, like, and he done well for them, but he was in a stage where he was only just starting to get back to fitness.
And it had a huge difference when it came to attendances. I mean, I believe when Best was on board, he was talking in the book about crowds going from 1,500 to 15,000.
Yeah,
would you get 15,000 in there?
And yeah, well, in those days there was no stands, so you know, like any ground that, you know, sort of no stands, terracing and so forth, you'll always get more people in than the seat.
The legend. Seating
them. Yeah. But what made it so really great now is that so many people talk that I've seen Georgie Best play here in Cork, and they're as pleased as punch, even now at this stage.
Yeah, yeah. You have one regret about that, though. In the book, you say you took a penalty that you should have let him take, and then you scoffed it. Do you have sleepless nights?
I can hardly reply to that question without laughing. It's the most embarrassing moment of my life on the football field. I was actually in goal. Our goalkeeper had been injured, and we had no substitute goalkeepers. We had no subs, I don't think, at that era. And I was the chosen candidate to go in goal. And so I was right at the other end of the field. We were winning 1-0 against Bohemians, and they were very high up in the league. And we got a penalty in the last minute, well, what I thought was the last minute. And I was a penalty taker, so I was a goalkeeper, penalty taker.
Oh, well, they don't blame you.
and like a fool, I run the length of the pitch to take the penalty. And the worst thing about it, it was bad enough if I'd scored, but I missed the goal. I didn't even hit the goal. And then I was scampering back the full length of the field. And I thought afterwards, I should have let Georgie take that. And it pleased the thousands of people that were in the ground.
You still remember it to this day.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And Cork LGFA were defeated today by Armagh, 4-10. Cork, 1-9. So we will now hear from Dermot Carty speaking to Cork manager Joe Carroll.
Joe, obvious disappointment. Did you just leave yourselves with too much to do with those three first half goals?
Yeah, I suppose there's a yes and a no to that, Joe. We definitely left ourselves with too much to do, but like, we had our chances in the second half. We created two goal chances and didn't take either one of the two of them. We missed the 14-yard free, which I think somebody says now it was about 7 or 8 minutes to go. We were 4 points down. There was an obvious breach. Everybody was shouting. The place was on the line here. We're all shouting, breach, breach, breach. It wasn't picked up by the officials, and Armagh got away with it, and they broke and got a 2-pointer. So it went from being 4 points to 6 points all of a sudden, and we were, you know, our match was nearly gone back in their favour again then, like, whereas if it had come up this end, then we had got the free in front of the goals, hopefully we'd score it, and if we scored it was down to 3. And then, you know, 8 minutes, 3 points, you mightn't be forcing trying to go for goals. And I suppose we got caught in towards the latter end of it as well, because we were pushing to see now could we get a goal, because at that stage we needed the goal when they went 6 up and we weren't going to pull it back in points. But look, I think our club were very brave in the second half and showed great heart to keep coming back into it, and I suppose that's the positive we have to take out of it for next week.
The shooting as well, you missed a lot of chances that you'd normally take, Joe. I mean, obviously it's disappointing, because had you taken even half of those, you'd have been a lot closer right near the end.
Yeah, sure we would, like, and I suppose, like, it was a game of two halves, really, like, that Armagh dominated completely the first half and they caused us huge problems with their running, whereas in the second half we ran more, we tackled more, and we caused them big problems in the second half. And except that the difference was that in the first half they were very clinical, everything they got they took it, and they got the 3 goals, like, which was big, 3 goals in the half an hour football in the first half an hour, like, is going to give you a big boost to try and pull that back. But sure, look, that's what we have to try and learn out of and go forward from here.
Now that's all we have time for here on The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. I will catch you again tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m.
The Big Red Bench, Cork's Red FM.